Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Victory Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Ravens 30-23 over the Washington Commanders. Lamar Jackson quarterback rating well over 100 for the fourth consecutive week. Here's head coach John Harbaugh talking about Lamar's big day.
I thought Lamar had a great game. You know, I mean, it's he was on point against man coverage. They were loading the box up against the run and playing a lot of man coverage, which they had not done a lot of throughout the course. We had a lot of first and second down play action passes up. Guys like Zay running crossing routes and sail routes, away from those guys, and they were on our guys. But enough separation, Lamar dotted, these guys made contested catches on the run, and then made guys miss with the after the catch as well. So just proud of all those guys, Zay, Mark, Isaiah, Bate, everybody did a good job.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you can tell that's a typical winning press conference. Everybody did a great job, and they did. They ran great routes. I thought the one that Bateman ran in the middle of the field where he kind of went out and then went in, that was an awesome route. And Zay ran some really good. I thought Andrews ran some good routes, too. He showed some nice separation there. So, yeah, I mean, when they were called upon, they did it. They did it. I like their receiving room, including tight ends. I think it's a good room. And you know, like people had talked before about Davante Adams, they didn't need him.
No.
They didn't need him.
No. Now he might want to stick around with Las Vegas because I think he likes Aiden O'Connell. Maybe he saw yesterday's game and changed his mind
no
again.
No doubt. But Lamar, now Crosby wants out.
Yeah, hey, maybe Detroit. Who knows? 20 of 26 for Lamar. 323 quarterback rating, as we said, of 114.7 for the season. Lamar Jackson right on the nose, Nolan. 67% completion rate. How about that?
And, I Lamar's been, like, playing great, I think. I think he's been throwing the ball great. To me, the best thing he's been doing is conducting, as Monken would say. He's been the conductor of that offense and changing plays, changing protections. He's in total control. And I think the announcers said it good. Like, the game has slowed down so much for him that it's kind of easy for him.
John Harbaugh talked about the team and how they performed. When you win, if he could give game balls to everyone, he would, because it was an ultimate team victory.
Heck of a game, heck of an environment, playoff feel out there with the crowd and everything. Fans from both teams, loud, very tough physical game against a tough physical football team that was playing at the high, has been and did play at the highest level. Very I guess the ultimate team win. You know, all three phases contributed to the win when they had to, overcame adversity, long drives on offense, big stops on defense, particularly on third down, which they were the number one third down offense in the league.
And they were. I mean, third downs, the defense, they were 4-12. You know, so they did a good job, you know, on the third downs. But for some reason, you know, watching the Ravens defense play, you know, if they get a three and out, it's like, damn. You know, I just don't have – it's kind of like how I felt when Tucker would line up for over a 50-yard field goal. That's kind of how I feel with the defense right now. And then now we feel good about Tucker because of the confidence. Can we get the confidence in the defense? They got to start making some plays. And, you know, the secondary dropped another pass. Washington dropped it right in his gut. I mean, that those kind of things, they change, you know, change field position and stuff. And just give, if they can give, if the defense can give the offense more opportunities, they can really be scary.
And we were talking with a caller, Vinny, early in the show. Can't remember who it was. I apologize. But the safeties, and that was the best duo going into the season, as rated by the expert types, and arguably the best secondary in football, and they're not playing like that right now. So you hope they can eventually start playing up to their potential. But, you know, I mean, every week it's like insert quarterback here who puts up some big numbers against them.
Well, how many times do you see, like, I saw it a few times, especially down in the red zone, Bob. It's like, you know, like Hamilton is talking to Kyle Hamilton's talking to Marcus Williams, and it's like, no, you go there, you go, and it's like, come on, get lined up, guys. You know, so I still think they're working through stuff. And Dean Pease will help, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Now, we talk about the defense, secondary in particular, having their struggles. The offense, boy, they're starting to percolate in a big, big way. Lamar Jackson was asked after yesterday's win, is this the most balanced offense you've ever been a part of?
Somewhat. In a way, you can say, yeah. Because 2019, we was pretty balanced until guys, like, you know, went down at the end of the season. But, yeah, you can say that.
I think they're extremely balanced right now. But, I mean, Ingram in 19 was awesome.
Yeah, you know, but he got hurt in that Cleveland game
he
late.
He was Pro Bowl guy. So their run game was historic at that time. And I think it was a new scheme that people hadn't seen. They didn't know how to stop it. So give Greg Roman credit. Now, they're just kind of... I think now it's more about their talent and abilities than it is about scheme.
Yeah, and there are more playmakers.
No doubt.
On this year's
team.
Well,
you look at how many guys each week, Bob, catch passes and stuff. I mean, Flowers, Bateman, Andrews, likely Aguilar, and Justice Hill. I mean, you can put them down every game for they're going to catch a pass or so.
It's 58-80-105-7, the Fan. News from the Nest here on this Victory Monday, 105-7, the Fan. Even though this is possibly the most balanced offense that Lamar's been a part of, I mean, have you guys reached your peak yet?
No, just proving we can win games. Just playing Raven football right now. I don't think that really proved anything. Like, we the best offense, you know. There's always room for improvement. It's only like the sixth game. There's always room for improvement, though, because there was still MEs happening out there. You know, we still had tries where we should have put points on the board, the interception, stuff like that.
I love listening to Lamar talk because it's like he's never satisfied, which
right.
I like, which I kind of like. I mean, they are averaging 450 yards a game, and they're pretty dominant right now on offense because, I mean, especially, like, they got the best closer in the league, you know, with the running back. Yeah, that's the thing is you get ahead, and you've been throwing it in the first half, and you're wearing them down. And then the 250-pounder, pound, pound, pound. You know, and eventually he's going to pop one.
And it's like, you know, based on what we know of Lamar, I don't know him personally, but he's probably, when he's meeting with the media, he's probably still pissed about the interception.
Yeah.
Probably still agitated that even took place. And he mentioned the MEs, the missed assignments, or ME, missed...
Mental errors.
Mental errors. There could be, you know, one and the same, but he understands that there's way more potential for this offense. Just tighten up a few things, and if they get better, cleaner, if you will.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good luck with all that defenses.
Yeah, because, I mean, in this game, I mean, 484 yards, 60% on third down. You know, you average 4.8 rushing. So, yeah, and you average 7.4 per play. So, there was, and you had 36 minutes time of possession. So, So, I mean, it was a pretty damn good offensive performance.
Here's Derrick Henry, Ravens running back. He had two TDs yesterday, talking about the offense and feeling as though things were clicking a little bit yesterday.
I feel like everything was working. It's kind of like pick your poison. Everybody did a great job being locked in and executing. But it's hats off to everybody on offense of, you know, of putting plays together and be able to finish drives to put ourselves in a position to win.
Well, a lot of the finishing drives, he's a finisher. You know, when you get down there close, you know, and he gets a little head of steam rolling, guys get out of the way. You know, what'd you say he has 9 touchdowns, Bob, in 6 games?
Yeah, 8 receiving, yeah. 1, or 8 rushing, 1
yeah,
receiving.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a big, strong, physical dude. And then when you get down there and you're running the ball, that's the best thing that the O-line does is run block, and you got a lot of beef there.
Yeah, even his one fumble turned into a touchdown. For Patrick Carr. Yeah. Hey, Derrick Henry, 704 yards, 5.9 per carry. The 8 TDs we just talked about, averaging over 117 yards per game. I'd say he's, quite frankly, I think he's exceeding expectations. I said when they first say, hey, I'll take what he did last year. Boy, he's blowing last year out of the water when he had a good year with Tennessee.
Bob, you know who Derrick Henry is kind of extended or made his career a lot. But, I mean, just look at Patrick Ricard because he was kind of getting phased out last year. Now, this year, he had 35 snaps, 51%, Bob, he was on the field. And Isaiah Likely, he was on 68%. Andrews was 50%. And then Kolar's out there 32%. So you're three tight ends and Ricard, they're on the field a lot.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Victory Monday. We'll come back. It's Counts of Dough, Buy or Sell. Talk about the sports subjects of this Monday, which are plentiful for sure. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, talks about 6 weeks in. And tonight's game, Jets taking on Buffalo, first place in the AFC East on the line. Playoff look, Major League Baseball, NLCS started last night. Blowout in favor of the Dodgers. Former Oriole had a lot to do with that. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. AFC North are going around there. Pittsburgh, they break a mini losing streak. Cleveland's extends, and then we'll look at our picks and hopefully get some Harbs for you because John Harbaugh meets with the media at 1 o'clock today.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Victory Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Victory if you're a Ravens fan, that is, 30-23. Over the Commanders, 4 straight wins for Baltimore. John Harbaugh going to meet with the media coming up in about 40 minutes or so. And hopefully we'll have some of that before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Plenty of sports stuff for sure. Let's count that dough first, though. Buy or sell.
Yep. Yeah, let's count it. The Dow's up 166. The S&P's up 40. NASDAQ is up 149. DraftKings down 76 cents. Under Armour's up 33 cents to 8.21.
All right, let's get started with a little college football here today. Oregon versus Ohio State. That game lived up to the hype on Saturday, but it was the underdog Ducks pulling out the 32-31 victory, becoming the new top dog in the Big Ten here in mid-October. Plenty of narratives to come out of the game as well. Ryan Day's big game shortcomings, they're at the forefront, but also Oregon does represent the new guard in the conference, here to disrupt the usual powerhouses. Both remain national title contenders, though, will probably be favored to win out the rest of their regular season schedules. So as thrilling as this meeting was here between two top five teams, buy or sell, Bob, we will see a rematch in the conference championship this December.
I'm going to sell it. Crazy things happen, man. You never know what could unfold over the next couple of weeks. Listening to Paul Feinbaum yesterday, he says the only thing preventing Ohio State from being the best team in the country basically is quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not buying Will Howard as the dude there. Dylan Gabriel's been around, I think, since Billy Sims was the running back at Oklahoma as he transferred from the Sooners. But Howard slides. It doesn't give them, the game ends with the quarterback, like, basically taking a knee, kind of, sort of. But you mentioned Nolan Ryan Day's, and these big upper echelon games. I mean, Michigan's been kind of spanking them lately. Yeah. I don't know, man. If I'm a Buckeyes fan, got to blame somebody. Got to blame the coach, I guess.
And he's lost to Oregon twice.
Not a good look.
Yeah. So I think, hey, Penn State's for real. I'm thinking, kind of, maybe. We'll see.
Didn't think that the first quarter.
Yeah, well, I thought, yeah. But they found a way to win, and as long as Aller can stay healthy, they're all right there in Happy Valley.
Move over to the NFL. The Cowboys, they knew they were going to have some trouble running the ball when the season started, but through 6 weeks, the results still kind of laughable. Prior to their beatdown against the Lions, this was last week, Jerry Jones fielding questions about the team's running back situation, particularly Zeke Elliott. The veteran back has received just 38 carries this season, turning that into 115 yards. But Jerry Jones says they are consciously saving him for later in the season. The quote from Jerry here says, Rico Dowdle is an outstanding running back, but his big problem has been trouble with injuries throughout his career. It'd be madness to just rely on him for the duration of the season and into the playoffs. Zeke is there. He will be there. Vinny, are you buying or selling? We will see Elliott's workload increase as the season goes on.
I'll buy it because he's got to get some rushes because they can't drop back and throw it all the time, and they got to eat some more clock because their defense is so bad.
Hold on. I'm not exactly Don Shula here. So you're not going to run your most effective running back because you're afraid he's going to get hurt, and the reason that you won't run Zeke Elliott is because you're going to need him in case the guy... Okay. All righty then. All right. Whatever. Next.
Oh boy. A little baseball here. How about it? The Tigers, their magic run came to an end over the weekend, but looking back on it, still plenty to be happy about if you are a Detroit fan. Now they'll enter a crucial offseason where they know they're in line to compete. They've got the ace pitcher, young talented bats, Torkelson, Green, just to name a few. And even with Javi Baez's contract, they did enter this season with a bottom six payroll. Recent history shows that they are actually willing to spend. 2022's payroll, they actually ranked 17th in the league entering the season. Buy or sell, Bob, the Tigers will be top 15 in spending by the start of next year.
I'll buy it. They're going to need another pitcher aside from Scoob when you get into these series, if you get into October. You know, Casey Mize, remember, this guy was the first pick in the draft couple of years ago, and Torkelson was a big-time draft pick himself. You mentioned Riley Green and Meadows. I mean, they've got some talent. Javi Baez, boy, that's been a Rendon-level debacle of a contract for them. But, yeah, they're going to spend some cake. And Kansas City, Detroit, ahead of schedule. Cleveland's always going to be legit. Minnesota was going to be in the playoffs. They gacked. That AL Central is going to be an interesting thing to keep your eye on here moving forward.
Why didn't you mention the White Sox? No hope for them? They're not going to turn it around?
Unless you can get a time machine back to 1983, which we'd all hop in, by the way.
All right, let's close with this here. You might not think it based on the fact that they just fired their head coach last week, but the Jets do have a chance to be sitting on top of the AFC East by this time tomorrow if they can handle their business against the Bills tonight. Aaron Rodgers is going to need to play much better, though, if they're going to win. Might be surprised to hear Rodgers has not had a 300-yard passing game since December of 2021. Yes, that's true. This includes playoff appearances, a streak of 28 straight games, the longest active streak in the NFL without a 300-yard passing game. He'll face a Bills defense tonight. They've only given up 300 yards through the air once this season. That was against Houston in their previous game. Buy or sell, Vinny, Rodgers will not reach 300 yards again tonight.
I'm going to buy that because I think they've got to run the football, and you can against Buffalo. So I don't think he'll come anywhere near 300.
He is a ayahuasca enthusiast, as Pat McAfee mentions every Tuesday when he does an appearance on his show.
Well, there's nothing in the record books for that.
Yeah, maybe he can elucidate back to the days where he did throw. for 300 yards in a ball game. By the way, you can hear that game tonight on The Fan, right?
Correct.
Buffalo and New York, and we'll talk more about that when we come back with Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, talking about the Ravens maybe running away eventually with the AFC North, and we'll get to the Dallas woes, which are plentiful, especially at home. And then we got the MLB playoff report coming your way. Former Oriole was outstanding last night for the Dodgers. A former Oriole's on the hill for Cleveland tonight in the Bronx.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Having everybody. Victory Monday if you're a Ravens fan, and most of our listeners are. 30-23 over the Commanders. Baltimore's won four in a row. They're off to Tampa next Monday. John Harbaugh going to meet with media earlier than normal. 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact. So we'll have some of that for you coming up in the final hour of the show.
Well, they got an extra day to prepare for Tampa this week. And would he have given them Monday and Tuesday off? Possibly. Possibly he could have done that.
And we'll get into all of that and more. College basketball top 25 AP came out. Kansas number one. Maryland's not in it. But Rutgers is for the first time since 1978 with Jammin' James Bailey. Taking them to the Sweet 16 way back when. But we're not here to talk about 45 years ago college basketball, at least not today. Let's talk about current day NFL 6 weeks in. Wraps up tonight. First place on the line in the AFC East. Longtime NFL writer. Let's welcome back to the show. It's Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. He is Jason Cole. Jason, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as always here on The Fan.
No problem. What's going on?
A little of this, little of that. And let's talk about the more dire situation. And we'll get to the positive news. Jacksonville, Dallas, who's in more disarray on this Monday morning?
Well, Dallas, just because everybody hates them. So it is, it's sort of enjoying the chaos and the piling on that goes on with Dallas. So when you're Dallas, everything seems 10 times worse. But if you're really looking at who's got a bad team, that's like, okay, I don't have a plan for how I'm going to fix this, it's Jacksonville. 'Cause the quarterback is playing awful. At least when you see Dak Prescott, you go, okay, I got a quarterback. He may not be one of the top five guys, but he's one of the top six, seven, eight guys in the league, right? And I'll take that. And I got CeeDee Lamb. And I've got players on Dallas, you know, get Micah Parsons back. I got guys to build with. With Jacksonville, what do you have? I mean, Brian Thomas is pretty good. But the quarterback who you just paid a ton of money to, is just playing awful. I mean, just truly, truly putrid. I think there is a true issue with, and I want to be careful how I say this. I'm not trying to say the kid's lazy, and I'm not trying to say he's a bad kid, because he's not. You know, by all measures, he's a good person. By all measures, he's trying. I don't think he knows what it is to work at this. I don't think he understands the effort you have to put in to be great at this, because it's been easy for him up until now, and he's been coddled a lot. And I just think that, like, okay, dude, like, you need to understand every in and out of how this works in order to make it better. And you have to work at it that hard for the other guys around you to respond, because this team's just not playing very hard, and they have bad losses, like losing to Cleveland, losing to Miami in their current state, losing to the Bears, who, you know, I think the Bears are better than, you know, we think, and Caleb is certainly coming along pretty fast. But you should have been the quarterback in that game who showed out, not Caleb Williams.
Now, Jason, talk about another one, Cleveland. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's been awful. And will the owner let them bench him?
I don't think so. The owner's the one who stepped up and paid all the money. The owner's probably going to look at yesterday's second half where he went 11 for 11 and say, oh, that's progress. Look at him, look at him, look at him. And the owner's never really known how to do football, but thinks he does. Like, you know, Jimmy Haslam and – you know this from the inner circles, is like, he thinks he knows football because he's one of those typical SEC guys, you know, Tennessee grad, who, you know, watches games and goes, well, I could call a better play than that, right? Yeah, you know, like that's the Jerry Jones method. I mean, he's, you know, he's another typical SEC guy, right? Like you come in, you know, I'm standing in Gainesville, Florida right now, and this is, you know, I know every big-time Bull Gator who's a supporter of this team believes that there could be a better coach than Billy Napier right now, which is why Napier's going to lose his job. So that's just how this rolls. Haslam's not going to allow him to bench him. He's going to blame the coach. Even though Stefanski's a good coach, he's going to blame the coach, and that's how this is going to go.
Now, Jason, is after 6 weeks, is Lamar Jackson the MVP right now?
It's him, C.J. Stroud. I still have Josh Allen in the argument, even though they've kind of wavered the last couple of weeks. Lamar's playing really great football, but maybe it's Derrick Henry, like on that same team. Like Derrick's, mm-hmm. Derrick is a perfect addition alongside Lamar. Like when I watch those two guys together, it makes me think of the best of Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson when those two guys were together. Good argument for him. Good argument. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Yeah, my problem is I don't really concentrate on the MVP argument. I hear it, and then it kind of goes in one ear out the other when we're talking. You know, before you get to about 10 or 11 games into the season. I try not to pay attention to it too hard.
What do you think about tonight?
Interesting. I thought that the decision to fire Saleh was a bad one and an unfair one. I'm not saying he's a great coach. He kind of reminds me of kind of younger Dave Wannstedt, which is a guy who really doesn't know how to coach. But I thought Saleh deserved more than five games of Aaron Rodgers after having dealt with Zach Wilson, right? Like it's not fair to judge a coach when you force fed him Zach Wilson for what, 3 years? That's not right. And especially when the defense is playing as well as hard as it is. And when you look at the metrics of the Jets, their metrics are really good. Their yards per play differential are, you know, it's plus more than a half for the Jets. The defense, again, playing really, really well. You have a quarterback who is coming back from a year off, playing on a new team with guys he's never played with before. I mean, I know he was on the team last year, but he didn't play with those guys, really. And he's 40 years old. And you lost one game by a missed field goal at the end. You know, yeah, you should have won it earlier and taken care of business. You lost another one because the 40-year-old quarterback threw three picks in that game in an overseas game. Like, I just thought, you know, this was a typical decision of an owner who gets involved too much and interferes too much when he shouldn't have to. I know we talk about Bisciotti and coming in and making big decisions and things like that, but I don't think Bisciotti comes in and tells people what to do on a day-to-day basis. I don't think he tries to evaluate football. He evaluates people, and he evaluates situations, and he evaluates, is this group working well together? I think he's really good at that, which is why he's left Harbaugh alone for so long, and why that team has been so consistent. He understands, leave your people in place, and then come in and make big decisions on things. And to me, like the Jets, the whole Woody Johnson thing just to me reeked of a terrible snap decision.
Hey, Jason, do you think the Steelers can – I mean, they're sitting 4-2. Can they sustain this?
For the first 9 games of the season, look at their schedule. They don't get into division until week 10 is when they play Baltimore. Is that right? Or I can't remember which one's their first division game. I fully expect them to be, what, 7-2? They've already screwed up two games that they should have won, you know, the fumble off the helmet. And then, you know, they let Dallas hang around too long. I don't think they're truly a threat in the playoffs. They can make the playoffs. They're a threat. You know, their defense will keep them in games when in the playoffs, when the game gets more defense oriented, that will help them. But Justin Fields isn't good enough. Not yet. I think Justin Fields reminds me a lot of Ryan Tannehill, where it took 4 or 5 years for him to become good. And then they maxed him out when they put him next to a guy like Derrick Henry and with, you know, weapons around him and a good offensive line. You were able to get something out of Ryan Tannehill. I get the same feeling out of Justin Fields. Like, he missed it was just an easy throw to the tight end, you know, who was going from, he lined up on the right, you know, right end, and he was going, you know, basically ran, you know, a wider post to the left post. And it was an easy throw over the top of the linebacker to the left of the defender. It, you know, just should have been automatic. And he looked it off and didn't make the throw. And it's like, dude, that's, you know, that's 6 points easy. You know, and maybe you overthrow it once in a while. I get that. But you have to make the throw. And instead, he chose to run around right and he got caught. Now, they scored the touchdown a couple plays later. But you got to make the game easier than that. And Justin Fields doesn't do that. And that's why I think he'll eventually grow into it and be the best he can possibly be. He's not there yet. And so I think they eventually have to go to Russell Wilson if they have a hope of being a serious contender.
Longtime NFL writer Jason Collier. It's the Jets, Giants, bye, Washington, Baltimore. For the Steelers, they get into AFC North play on November the 17th. Jason, appreciate your time as always. By the way, that Michael Simon show where he cooks only on charcoal with the grill, him and his wife, it's awesome. And he's an enjoyable man to watch because he makes good food. At least it looks like it from the television standpoint.
Hey, so Michael Simon is the best. There you go.
Jason, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jason.
Later. Be good.
There he is, Jason Cole, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk baseball playoff. Dodgers get out to a big lead early and hold off the Mets where they blow them out, quite frankly, because a former Oriole was dealing as like he's never dealt before. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll go around the AFC North looking back at yesterday's scores. Yeah, Cleveland stinks. Steelers are okay. What do we make of the Bengals, though? We'll talk about that later in the show. AFC North are going to go around that division. Who would have thunk that through 6 weeks, the NFC North would be better than the AFC North? Everyone's above 500 in the NFC North. Will they stay that way? Well, plenty of football left to be played, but we'll get into that and then some. And then we'll look at our picks for this weekend, college and pro. But yesterday, last night, I should say, Chavez Ravine, the Dodgers who survive the San Diego Padres, Friday night, 2-0 shutout, sent San Diego home. Sadly, L.A. then takes on the Mets and New York, L.A. There's always a rivalry there, the two biggest markets TV-wise in all of the country. And how about a former Oriole helping the cause for the Dodgers in Game 1?
In the center field, and the Dodgers cash in. Betts in to score. Freeman lumbering home. He'll score as well. 2-0 L.A. Max Muncy delivers with two gone in the first.
Fly ball left field. Teoscar Hernandez. Does he have room? He does! Makes a little more for himself. Reaching over the wall.
A 1-2-3 frame for Jack Flaherty that featured his sixth strikeout in six shutout innings now in Game 1.
Turn into seven shutout innings for Jack Flaherty. Fox on the call, two-hitter, six Ks. As you heard, Max Muncy, big two-out hit, drives in the first runs of the game. Shohei Ohtani had a couple of ribbies. Mookie Betts with a bases-clearing double late. 9-0 final score. Jack Flaherty, you remember his 3 months in Baltimore, underwhelming in an Orioles uniform, then signed with the Tigers, reestablished himself as a guy that could get people out, was traded at the trade deadline to L.A., and he has been a godsend to that rotation, and last night was big as the Dodgers take Game 1. 33 straight scoreless innings for the L.A. pitching staff, which ties the 66 Orioles for the most consecutive scoreless innings in a postseason. Ironically enough, the Orioles did it against the Dodgers in the 1966 World Series. Game 2 of that series coming up on Fox at 4:08. Sean Manaea for New York, and Brazier is going to be the opener for the L.A. Dodgers. L.A. looking to make it 2-0 in the NLCS, and then the American League Series starts tonight. Cleveland Guardians, who survived Detroit. Lane Thomas, what an acquisition that was for Cleveland at the trade deadline from the Nats. Grand slam off Skubal. That was all she wrote. The Yankees, who get through Kansas City. It's Alex Cobb. Remember him, everybody? Former Oriole right-hander. Now in Cleveland, came over from the Giants at the trade deadline against Carlos Rodon. 7:38 first pitch. ALCS Game 1, Yankees and the Guardians. Remember last year, all these wild card teams making deep runs into the playoffs. The World Series last year was Texas versus Arizona. Well, three of the four teams in the final four, Nolan, baseball, division winners, top seeds. Yeah. What's up?
Right, and your one wild card team, not really your stereotypical underdog either. Big spender in the Mets.
Yeah, what do you think Buck Showalter's thinking right now?
He's thinking, I'm cursed, man. Every time a team gets rid of me, they go to the World Series. What's going on?
And the team looking to take the next step, probably on the phone with Buck. Hey, we want to manage us for a year because we want to get to the World Series in two seasons. But the Mets, Dodgers, Guardians, Yankees, that's all coming your way as we're in the final four of Major League Baseball. We're coming up on NFL lunch here in a couple of minutes, and we'll get into, when we do our picks, the Buffalo, the Jets game. But Detroit losing Aiden Hutchinson, broken tibia and fibula happened. The game was well out of hand in favor of Detroit, but you're still playing, Vinny. It's the third quarter. It's one of the unfortunate parts of sports, especially a violent game like football there.
Yeah, and there's, like, pass rushers and offensive linemen, that's when they get hurt, Bob, around the quarterback when bodies are flying, you know. So I feel bad for him because he's, you know, I don't know the kid, but I mean, all the stuff he does in the community and everything, and he leads the league in sacks. That's tough break for them.
He had
Lions.
A sack yesterday in the game. As we said before, we got Jason Cole on the phone, top 25 men, Associated Press, Kansas, Alabama, UConn, Houston, Iowa State, Vinny.
Damn, football and basketball.
Your top five. What's going on in Ames over there? Maryland did get a vote, Nolan. Maryland did get a vote. I don't know who it was. This is the media voting, but Rutgers coming in at number 25. Steve Peichel in that big old fancy recruiting class of his.
Yeah.
Getting a little early recognition. And, you know, we'll see. It's a new look Big Ten added to the highest ranked Big Ten team. Let me make sure because I can't remember all the new teams. I see Kansas, no. Alabama, no. UConn, no. Houston, no. Iowa State. Gonzaga's coming in six. Duke, no. Baylor, no. Carolina, no. Arizona. Arizona's Pac-12, right? Auburn, no. Tennessee, Texas A&M. Purdue. Here we go. Got to go deep. Got to go deep into that top 15. Purdue, the highest rated Big Ten team coming in at number 14. Big Ten has not won a national championship men's basketball since 2000 when Michigan State did it. So we're coming up on 25 years. Purdue was in the national championship game last year, however. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And if I launch, coming your way next, going to hear from John Harbaugh, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. How about little Bateman? He's coming to the party this year. We're going to hear from him. And then we got to, let's see here, AFC North going around that division, which is led by Baltimore. And then we'll look at our picks here from John Harbaugh as well. It's Victory Monday. Ravens won four in a row. That has to make you feel good, I would think.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.